This is Dudes Who Bet Sports.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Dudes Who Bet Sports, and welcome to our Kentucky Derby edition of the show. We are live coming at you, talking Kentucky Derby, talk a little bit of NHL and NBA playoffs at the end as well. All right, Papa Dude, I've got it up. I've got it ready to go. Are you ready to run through them?
Let's do it. Let's get after it. I'm sure you've done this a few times already this week, probably.
I know these horses. That's true.
I'm sure you do.
All right, so I put it up on the screen now. Of course, 20 horses. A bit of news that Encino has scratched. So the 9 Encino out of the race. So that, actually, I'll scroll down here. That'll put Epic Ride into the race. We'll talk about Epic Ride, obviously, because he's in. We'll also talk about the 22 as well, because, hey, it's still a long ways till this race. I think that horse might actually get in. All right. Let's get to it. Let's go down the list now, and we'll just start. We'll go one by one. You tell me if you really want to talk about him or not. Okay. The number one is Door Knock. Any interest?
I've got him. No, I would have listed him as one of the long shots, but not in that post. Yeah. I think that one has just kind of eliminated him. Unless he gets out of that gate very fast. And if they don't, you know how it is. You don't get out of that gate, you get slammed in. And he's a speed horse, got to get to the lead. I just think that post has eliminated him.
The new starting gate does help a little bit. It has helped that inside post, but it only helps if you break sharp. I mean, when you've looked at horses, I went back and looked at replays of horses that have broke from the new starting gate from the rail. And it's the same story. If you break a step slow, you are in big trouble. If you break sharp and break well, you do have a little bit more of a chance. But I'm with you. And also, this horse has been a little goofy. So, you know, I don't really know how that's going to do. If he does break a half step slow, what he will really do. I think from a pace standpoint, he's going to play a big part, though. Drawing the rail, they're just going to have to send him, I think. So,
yeah, the thing is, in these three wins, he's wired it. He's won. So in the two that he's lost, you know, he started seventh, then third, then he was third, then fourth, and he never did get to the lead in those starts. He got close in the second one, but he didn't get there. So I just think the post, his style and everything is going to keep him out.
Yeah, I do think in the end it is a hindrance to him. He's going to have no choice. So even if you could say break sharp gun to the lead, well, now you're sitting on a lead where there's probably going to be other speed. You're going pretty fast. So that's the other problem. All right. Number two, Sierra Leone. I'm sure we're going to want to talk about this one. What are your thoughts on Sierra Leone?
Well, I think this was the worst draw this horse could have got with his running style. So, I mean, I think he's the second best horse probably in the field. He's the most consistent, coming off two good wins. He's never ran a bad race in his life. You know, he's really solid.
Yep.
Can't pick him in that two spot. I just can't. His running style, I just don't think he can do it.
I get big flashbacks to Curlin and when he broke from the two.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And I think people, one of the thing is he's going to drop back anyway. So that's not, you know, he was probably going to be last to begin with. Right. He's not going to have to move all the way over from an outside post. But I just get flashbacks to if he, you know, again, any of them can break slowly on any day. And if he does, boy, it's going to get rough for him that first part of the stretch there as they go by the first time, I should say.
Yes. I've
debated back and forth. Well, is it going to matter? Is it not going to matter? I do think it is going to matter some being inside all those other horses.
Yeah, and if he does shift back to the back, he's not got 10 horses to beat. You know, there's 20, and he's going to get dirt in his face, which that hasn't bothered him.
Yeah.
He comes from the back, and he's going to, okay, if he does get way behind, he's going to have to get a good trip. Yeah. There's too many ifs for me to
pick him. I agree. Kevin B says he's betting the last two. This time feels like a hop-off. He does love rooting for the horse. He is a fun horse to root for because he comes from way out of it. You know, he can make that last to first run, and that is exciting. And I covered that. Yeah, I've covered that this week a lot. when you bet him, you really love him once the race is over. Because I don't care, you know his running style, right? But I don't care who you are. When you bet a horse and they're in last and they're not doing much, you get a little anxious during the race.
Well, exactly. Just think back to Zenyatta.
Yeah.
How many times did we think she's not going to do it today? Every freaking time she ran.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, I just thought, this is the day she's going to lose. Mm-hmm. And that's what made her so exciting. That was, I mean, not the fact that she won every time, yes, but coming from way out of the race to win was just, that's the best horse to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I think if people didn't bet Curlin that day in 07, they probably aren't having the flashbacks or we're having of just right. Like, oh my God, that was brutal. So yeah. Hopefully Sierra Leone can work out a trip. I know he's going to be a popular choice, and he certainly, I've kind of said it a few times this week. If it was a regular situation, 12 horse field, you know, I would be sky high on him. I think he's very good, but man, I just worry about 20 horses. I just really, really do.
I do too. And I think Curlin was in the 3 spot, wasn't he?
No, he was 2.
He was 2. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He got slammed into the rail.
And yeah, it was bad. Now, that was the old gate, but at the same time, it was still bad.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. And he still finished 3rd.
Yeah. Yep. I know. And then won the Preakness. Anyway, all right, let's keep going. Number 3, Mystic Dan. This horse won the Southwest in the slop. Now, if you've looked at the forecast, it is very much fluctuating. So I would say I have no idea what to expect, but there is rain in the forecast. So what do you think of Mystic Dan?
I think he popped one time and that's it. That's what I think.
Even if it's sloppy, you think, that wasn't really what it was that day.
Maybe, but he hadn't done anything since to speak of. I just think that was one of those freak runs. You know, when you look, he hadn't really done anything before that. And that happens sometimes. And you got to look back, what he beat in the Southwest, not a lot. So,
yeah,
he ran okay in the Arkansas Derby. Wasn't awful.
He
finished 3rd. But he was 6 lengths behind. You know, so you got to eliminate some of them. And I think he's an easy one to eliminate.
Yeah, the price will be right on him. And like I said, but the thing about it is, will he get a lot of play if there is rain in the forecast?
Well, maybe he might.
The price won't be right at that time, you know? So we'll see.
I don't know. If I'm sitting there and I'm looking at what he's done, I wouldn't bet anything. I don't think that's going to matter. It wouldn't matter to me. I'll just say that.
Yeah. I think it's a popular thing to go, I'd probably move him up. But at the end of the day, I don't know how many of us actually will, you know, that's the thing about it. All right. Number 4 is Catching Freedom for Brad Cox. Blavian Pratt, of course, won the Louisiana Derby last time out. I don't think he drew great either, but what are your thoughts on Catching Freedom?
You know, he's, for some reason, he doesn't, and I'm no expert by any means, he ran well in the Louisiana Derby. That was a very, very good win because he was, you know, 4th, down by 2.5 lengths, coming down the stretch, and he won and was impressive in doing so. And he beat Anna Marie. That's not a bad horse. So he deserves a lot of looks at 8-1. But again, he's kind of an up and down horse, runs well one time, doesn't do as well the next. I don't have him in my top 4, but he's right on the edge. I could replace one of these guys with him real easy. He could win. And at 8-1, you know, I think you're going to get close to that. So, I mean, there's one I could slide him in. In my top 4, I could definitely slide him in over one of mine. So he's a contender for sure.
I think he is. I know Magic really likes him. He's one. I really don't think he has to come from last to win. It's all going to depend on the first, 1/8 of a mile for him. If he can break sharp, not get crunched, get a little bit of positioning where he's not dead last or he's not close to the back and he's sitting in the middle of the pack. I think he can sit there and still make a run. And I think that's why he's dangerous. Yeah. Levy Pratt, great jockey. He was able to win on Country House by doing kind of similar to what I'm talking about. Get him in the race a little bit earlier and see what happens. I think Catching Freedom can be that horse. However, this inside draw and mentally he's kind of been a little squirrely, you know, it seems to be worked out though, the last race. So it's a little bit of a question mark. I would have loved him being a little bit further outside, but
he's one of the, how many times we've kind of seen this before. If he can keep him like fifth, sixth, somewhere in there, and then can have that last run and get an opening, that is, I can see a scenario where he can win. So he's dangerous. And at 8-1, if that stays right there, I think you got to include him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be right there in a good spot. All right, number 5 is Catalytic. Any thoughts on him?
Nope.
Okay, number 6, Just Steal. Horse, obviously, the coach and Keith Asmussen. There's a Jenny Reese put it up. There's an interview with Keith Asmussen. Really nice kid if you want to watch that. It's up on YouTube. But anyway, what do you think about the chances of Just Steal?
Can't win.
I don't think so either.
No. I don't think he gets in the top 4. I mean, he could because he runs the same every time. I mean, he runs hard. The horse gives everything he's got. So he's going to do that. But I just don't think he's good enough. So if you know, he just comes plodding along like he always does, and then some of them drop back, he could screw up a superfecta for you or something like that. But I don't give him a chance to win.
I think he's going to sit the trip, and I think it's just going to be a matter of how fast did they go and will those horses come back to him? And then, you know, what if he can get the jump on some of those closers? Well, he's going to be sitting there with at least a chance. He needs a lot of help to win. I do think he can hit the board. And look, I think he'll have him ready to run pretty big. He ran a pretty big Arkansas Derby.
And he did. He did. If he
can do that again, I think he's within the realm here.
He can bring that back. He could definitely. I don't think he can win, though.
No, I don't either. I think he's going to be a lot of help. Lost,
yeah, he only lost by 2.
Yeah, it was his best race.
Yes, and Muse is good.
Mm-hmm.
Muse might be the favorite in this race if he was in it. So that is a very impressive one. But you go back to the Rebel, you know, he lost by 10, finished 7th, did nothing in that. You know, just flattened out. He was like 8th, 9th, 6th, 7th, 7th. And then the Southwest, and I know the slop was there. He was looked like he was going to win when he turned for home. And he was a half a length behind, and he ended up losing by 8. It's just, I've seen him too much. It looks like he's going to win it. And then he just doesn't have that kick to get it done. And that's what concerns me about him.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. I agree. That's a thing. Will he finish with enough power? That's going to be a big question mark. And we'll get to another one. I think it's a big question mark as well. Let's get to first, though. Honor Marie, number 7. This horse, you know, getting better. Obviously, that second race was good. They're hoping the third race off the layoff there will be his best yet. Supposedly working really well at Churchill Downs, like most of them.
they all look perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of the 7, Honor Marie?
Possible, maybe. Pretty good second in the Louisiana Derby. Back in November, won at Churchill in a grade 2. So the horse has done pretty well. Didn't run well in the Risen Star. I don't think the horse has a chance to win. I've got it in my top 9. No, 8, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm not that high on the horse. I don't think I would put it in anything, to be honest.
He seems like to be a little bit of a wise guy horse, and I hate when that starts to happen. I'm on the fence with him. I think this is a pretty good horse. I really do. I just am on the fence of, okay, when I look at the closers, I just keep looking back and going, well, he's probably the third best closer, you know? And it's like, well, but sometimes the third best closer or the eighth best closer wins the Derby because the other ones didn't get through. So, right. You know, I think it puts him within the realm. Now, can he get up and actually win it? I'm not sure, but I do think he can hit the board perhaps.
He could.
Number eight is Just a Touch. I mentioned Just Steel needs to finish with more energy. I really think Just a Touch as well. To me, Just a Touch, the last two races, has rounded the corner looking like he could win, and he just isn't finishing all that strongly. Mm-hmm. This is another wise guy horse. Everybody's on this horse.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Just a Touch?
Well, I think when you get to the Derby, you got to have more than three races under your belt. I think that's another thing that hurt Curlin back in 2007 and ran very much. And he's only ran three times. I have trouble with a horse that's only ran three times. And I have trouble picking a horse in the Kentucky Derby that's only won a maiden. Mm-hmm. I just can't do it. I never have. And yeah, he's got two good seconds. Sierra Leone beat him in the Bluegrass. And you're right. I didn't think Sierra Leone was going to catch the horse, but he did. Deterministic beat him in the Gotham. And so I can't pick him to win it because he just hasn't won anything. To me, you got to win something if you're going to pick him to win. But I've got him number four in it, but I could replace him with Catching Freedom real easy. So
a couple of things. I think people that are listening are going, well, Mage only had won a maiden as well before he won last year. My thing about it is sometimes a horse just freaks on the big day.
Exactly. What is Mage? What did he do after? You know, he hasn't, you know.
And look, I'm not discrediting anybody that picked him. It was a great pick. You should be extremely proud of yourself. Yes. However, just because he did it last year doesn't mean it's a thing, right? It just means he did it. I mean, he was so much better on Kentucky Derby Day than he was at any race before or after.
Exactly.
That doesn't happen all the time. It's three-year-old horse racing, so it does tend to happen some, but that's just not a normal pattern. That was an abnormal winner when you look at what happened after and exactly. Honestly, what happened before. So I'm kind of leaning towards what you're saying there with Just a Touch. Also, I wish he would show me something in his last two races that would make me want to bet him. That's the other part. I think he's one of these horses when you look at like numbers and stuff and like logical progression to this race, it all kind of fits. And it's like, yeah, I could see it. But when you really like watch the tape, so to speak, or watch the replays, he's just okay. Like he's good, but he just doesn't pop out at you. So
exactly.
I just couldn't.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, you look at his Bluegrass race, second. He took the lead, but he couldn't hold it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did he do? He just ran the same pretty much, but then when he needed that kick, he didn't have it.
Yeah.
And that's not good. I don't think so.
I don't either.
I just don't. I mean, I don't go by what happened last year or anything. I just look at what they've done. Because the Kentucky Derby, I don't think there's any such thing as trends. It's just the hardest race in the world to win.
It's funny, go wrong or go right. It's funny you say that because I did believe in the got to be kind of closer-ish to the lead, not on the lead, but closer. And then that got bucked. I'm kind of leaning towards you. I don't really think there's anything. I think it's just, you got to just pick the best horse and hope that best horse shows up. There isn't
a
secret to it, really.
And even if how many times do we see the best horse doesn't win this race?
Oh.
We just don't.
John talked about that a lot. He goes, some years the best horse doesn't win the Derby, and then by the end of the year, it's like, wow, how did he lose that one?
I know.
I think Epicenter is right up there.
Oh, yeah.
Right, as recent ones, it's like, how did he not win the Kentucky Derby?
I don't think Steve Asmussen knows either.
Well, that's true as well. Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Number 10 is number 9 scratched in Sino, by the way. Number 10 is T.O. Password. I got nothing on this one.
No, let's move on.
Okay. Number 11 is John. Yeah, number 11 is John White's top pick. That is Forever Young. He talked about him a lot on the channel yesterday. If you haven't seen it, you can go watch that now and talk hear all the comments about Forever Young. But John's not here today. What do you think about Forever Young?
Well, I don't follow these horses overseas, like especially this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what these races are about. I don't know. He's obviously 5 for 5. He's obviously good. You have to look at that.
To be blunt, these races overseas in the past have meant nothing when it comes to the Kentucky Derby.
Exactly. Right?
But does that change?
Every year, isn't it? Every year.
It does feel like every year. And
this Japanese horse is awesome.
It also feels like every year, because people are telling me, no, this is the best horse that's ever come
over here. I hear that every year.
Every year, it's the best horse that have ever come over here. Yeah, that's where it gets old to me. And again, I watch his races, and I think he's a good horse. But I do not watch his races and go, this is a horse that's a world beater. And so that's where my head is at with this horse. I'm not so much worried about the kickback. I think they're kind of overblowing that a little bit, but I just can't do it with him. Not at 8. He's now 8 to 1. He's the early money is coming in a little bit on him. He's 8 to 1. So anyway.
Well, the only way I would give him any thought is because your buddy John White likes him.
Me too. Yeah.
And I respect him. But I think John misses him just like we all do. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. He'd be the first to tell you that.
Yeah, and I know he would, and I've heard him and I respect him tremendously. If he hadn't said he likes him, I would have just said go to the next horse because until this one of these things wins from Japan, I'm giving him no credit. So just haven't seen it. It does bother me that John likes him. I'll be brutally honest. It does. Mm-hmm. It will surprise me if he wins. Let's put it that way. I'm not gonna I've got him in the top 8.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I do. Because I think some of these other ones are just, they have no chance. So, obviously, a horse is 5 for 5. It's won $2 million. Okay. And he's obviously pretty good. So,
yeah.
If everything goes right. But again, I'm sure you can analyze his races a lot better than I can. I don't know what he's beat. I doubt if he's beat anything. And I don't know, you know, anything about him, really. I don't know. So I just.
Well, I want to read JL's comment first. He said, Derma acquitted himself pretty well last year. You know, he didn't run. He ran second in the Classic, but he said he just went sideways out of the gate in the Derby. So here's the deal. John made a point yesterday. It's like, look, a lot of these UAE Derby winners, they weren't good enough to begin with, or, you know, to win the Kentucky Derby. And he said, you had all these, the other ones, they've had problems. My kind of rebuttal to that and to JL's comment, you're not wrong.
No.
They have had trouble, but they always have trouble. Like Derma Sotogate, it was not a great trip at all. Thunder Snow, everybody knows. Mendelssohn, like, that's not, you know, those weren't Japanese horses, but they are UAE Derby horses. For whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, they always get terrible trips. And I would love to see Forever Young get a trip and see if he can do it. Because it just seems like every year it's like, oh, God, who was that horse that just got killed out of the gate? Oh, that's the UAE Derby horse. Okay. You know, I mean, and again, I'm not knocking him, but it happens every time, I feel like. So I'm rooting for him to get a clean trip and at least show us, okay, here's a horse. He's got a lot of hype. He got a clean trip. Now, can he go win the thing? I would love to see that. I don't want to look up and he's 18th to start because it's not going to do anything. It's just going to be like, oh, my God, again, you know?
I don't understand why we fall in love with them every year. I don't get it. We're always undefeated.
With the Japanese horses, it's the success in the international stage, including right here in this country in our big races at the Breeders' Cup. That's the intrigue because everybody wants to say, I bet the first Japanese winner of the Kentucky Derby because they think the floodgates are going to open and they're going to win this race. But so they're trying to get ahead of the trend, basically, is what it is. And well, also, in John's case, he thinks he's a really, really good horse.
He wouldn't be picking the horse if he didn't think it was. He's not going to have a trend where he, you know, he has legitimate reasons for picking the horse.
And to jump in, he did not pick Derma Sotogate last year. So yeah, it's not like he's, in John's case, he's not trying to get ahead of the curve. He's analyzing and he's saying.
He's not making a wild pick.
No.
Hoping he gets it, and then he can go around saying, I told you. He honestly thinks the horse is going to win. So
yeah.
And that's what scares me just a little bit, because I do respect him.
Yep.
I just remember this. When I was a kid, if something said made in Japan, you didn't buy it.
Well,
so, and I'm applying this the same.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. Yeah, there's the real reason.
Back in those days, if it said made in Japan on it, it was supposedly cheap, so you didn't buy it. So that's where I'm going. I'm not buying a Japanese horse till he wins.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
I guarantee you're not going to hear that again on the channel. So there's a fresh take for everybody.
It's the truth, though. I remember, you go to the dime store or something where there were toys, and if it's, you turned it over and it said made in Japan, no, don't get that one. It's going to tear up.
I just love the vast difference of. We had John for a couple hours, probably 45 minutes of it, maybe an hour of it at least, was talking about Forever Young and all this stuff. And you just said, yeah, I don't buy stuff if they're made from Japan. So there you go. There's some total polar opposites.
Everything's made somewhere else. So that doesn't apply, but it did back then when I was a kid.
All right. Well, let's move on.
That's why I ruled him out.
Okay, that's the best reason as any. All right, let's go to number 12, Track Phantom. Of course, I know you and I personally would love to see Steve Asmussen get the win here. This horse just hasn't really developed. He's a good horse, just hasn't really improved. They're going to add blinkers. What do you think of Track Phantom?
Yeah, I heard him talking about him.
Yep.
On an interview, and you know how he is. He's just so calm.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I really think we've got him going. The blinkers are going to help. He kind of took a little bit of a bad step in the last one. And we just think, you know, the blinkers, you know how he is.
Yeah.
I've got him in the top eight just because I had to throw him in there, but he's number eight. I don't like the way he's ran the last two. Yeah. And, you know, he had three straight going there. And then second in the Risen Star, when he ran really well, thought he was going to win it. Had the lead coming down the stretch, but he couldn't hold it. Sierra Leone got him. Didn't run very well. And the last one's the one that bothers me. Because, again, he had the lead and faded to fourth.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary going into the Derby. I just don't think he's quite good enough to win.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm kind of with you. I think, you know, you and I have watched interviews with him for years and years now. Oh. And I feel like I can kind of trust what he says and kind of read what he says and his body language. He doesn't think the source has a shot. I don't think
so either.
I think, to be honest, he'll be watching Keith and just steal in the stretch.
I thought it was funny. They asked him.
It was great.
How are you going to do that? You got your son's riding a horse and then. Yeah. You got yours. He goes, how are you going to? He goes, well, I'm going to watch mine coming out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And if he's not doing too well, then I'll switch over to watching Keith.
Yeah. I really have enjoyed his interviews, him and Keith both, even though, like I said, maybe neither one of them have a horse that really is going to make a difference, but we'll see on that.
Yeah.
13 is West Saratoga. Great story. Small connections, bought this horse for nothing, basically, as far as horse terms go. But 50 to one.
Yeah.
Anything with this one?
Mm-hmm. No, hasn't, you know, the horse is not bad. Mm-hmm. He runs pretty well, but he doesn't win. And sometimes he's way behind. So no, I think he's in over his head in this one.
It feels it. It would be a great story. We've seen it. We've seen this kind of thing work before, I'm with you as far as just, as far as just handicapping, I just can't get there.
No, you just can't.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. But I said on a video earlier, if I lose, I hope it's this horse because this would be
cool.
this would be incredible. These
like find that bird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I would. Only maybe. Well, I'm not going to get into that. All right. Let's go.
We don't need to get into that one.
Let's go to number 14. Endlessly. 30-1 here. It sounds like Michael McCarthy is dead set against running this horse here, but older owners, they want to run in the Derby. I sure as hell don't blame them, but can't Endlessly make any kind of impact here.
He has won five out of six.
Oh, I mean, I think he's a good horse, but can he do it on the Derby?
Won everything on synthetic and turf.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of an issue, don't you think?
Obviously, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's obviously they've got him in there because they'll never have another one qualify, probably. So they want to enjoy all the pageantry, and why wouldn't you? That's why you own horses.
That's right.
So, no, I don't think, look at his record. He's ran pretty well. But
I think the vast, vast majority of us look at this from a handicapping standpoint, mm-hmm. and it's easy to get the past performances and go, well, why is this horse here? Mm-hmm. Well, he's here because when you own a racehorse, your decisions change when it comes to this kind of race. So yeah. I don't blame him. And I hope he takes to it. I hope he runs well. I don't think he will, but
it'd be great if he'd win, but I don't think so.
Yeah. It'd be another good story for sure. Really, especially for owners that are older and they've never had one in there. And the trainer's been telling them we're not running the whole time. And for him to win would be hilarious, actually. Yep. All right, number 15, Domestic Product, another, wise guy horse. I feel exactly. like a bit. Chad Brown bragging on this horse, no surprise there. I think this horse is getting way overblown, but what about you?
Well, he finished fifth in a maiden at Saratoga. Then he went to Aqueduct, finished first and broke his maiden, won by four, then came back in the Remsen and got thumped. Didn't win the Holy Bull. He did win the Tampa Bay Derby. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Not much in that. He only won by a neck. He's got Irad on him. I guess that's probably why he's getting a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Chad Brown, great trainer, doesn't do well here. He's outside a little bit. I did not include him in the top eight.
I didn't either. And I maybe JL and Kevin, you kind of alluded to it too, but I'll put JL's comment up there for being overblown. Domestic Product is still 30-1. And I've got the current odds up right now. Oh, you're wrong. He's now 29-1. Just kidding.
29,
but he is 29-1, but, he may be, you see this a lot. If you're on social media, the little bubble of people, sometimes a horse they talk about isn't really the reality of who's getting bet. And so that could be a little bit of that happening right now. We'll see though. End of the day, I'm not a believer in this horse.
No.
So.
No.
16 is Grand Mo the First. I'm not a believer in that horse either.
See you later. Next.
All right. 17 is Fierceness. The morning line favorite of 5-2. He is currently 3-1. When I say currently 3-1, there's $136,000 bet in this pool. So it isn't that big of a deal, these odds right now, but it's a talking point. I can say it, right? All right. Fierceness, what do you think?
Well, to me, he's the best horse in the race. I got your opinion on his post, and you don't have a problem with it.
Yep.
He's got to get the lead or get close heading down the stretch of the beginning of the race. He can't get way behind. I think you said the other day, we're going to know real early if he's going to win or not. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't get out of the gate, he can't get over and get close to the lead by the time they make the first turn, I think he's in trouble. So that'll be the key. Can he do it? He's one of those, and we see this sometimes, he's in every other race horse. Mm-hmm. If you've noticed, five starts, win seventh, win third, then a win. Well, this race is the bad race in that cycle.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem.
No doubt.
That's the whole problem. Has he matured now? And does he know what he's supposed to do? Or is he just one of these guys that just says, I ain't running today? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how a trainer knows that. I don't know.
It's guesswork. They're guessing like we are. they basically think if he gets bumped around a lot, he kind of just gets discouraged and it just throws him off.
He is small, right?
He's a smaller horse. Yep.
And they don't like that. And why would they?
Yep. Yep.
And here's the other thing that's a little scary. In his wins, he's won by 11, he's won by 6, and he's won by 13, which means there ain't nobody around him coming down that stretch.
Yeah.
That's scary. In the Holy Bull, there, you know, he finished third. So there were horses around him. So Is that an issue? And then I obviously, if you look at it, it kind of tells you it is.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it is. There's no question it is. Now, a couple of positive things. Muth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile did start to come up to him, and Fierceness just kind of shook him off. So that was good to see. I went back and watched replays. I remembered that race as nobody was close to him, and that's not true. There was a horse close to him, and he was able to get away from him. I've watched every step with this horse. I do think the outside draw means a ton for him. I would not have picked him if he drew inside. I've got to go to the theory of the trainer, and the trainer just thinks, hey, the only thing I can see is he got bumped around a little bit, and in both those races he lost, and he just got taken off of his game. The champagne, I think, was a legit excuse. I think that was just rough from the beginning, and he just didn't have much of a chance. I have no explanation for a Holy Bull. And
that was a clunker.
If he shows up at that race, it'll be ugly. And he did get knocked around early, but as Todd Pletcher even said, and I've been saying it for weeks and maybe months now, yeah, he had a little trouble early, but up the backside, he was in a great spot. It looked like he had calmed down. Mm-hmm. He was turning for home, and he thought, well, maybe he's not going to win by 10, but he looks good, and he just quit. So,
yep.
I don't know. That is a scary, terrifying thing.
It is. It is.
But I think he's drawn outside. Sure. You can always get in trouble no matter where you draw, but he's drawn outside. It lessens the chances.
Yeah.
We'll see. This is another thing. He has, everybody at once here. Pierce has more good wins than he does Holy Bulls. That's true. But he does have that Holy Bull.
Yeah, that's true. But I just think he's pretty good. So,
he's very good. He's very, very good. And here's the deal: Frankie Tubbs brings up a good point, and I totally agree. But you're forgetting; you're only looking at one data point. Okay, Gulfstream makes front speed horses look like monsters. Never trust it. Agree. What about Saratoga? What about the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita? That's the thing. Let's pretend he had been like an average horse and then he freaked in the Florida Derby. I would be with Frankie. I would be, whatever. Because we've seen it. We have seen that a million times. Although Maximum Security looked pretty good in his Derby. And the Florida Derby / Gulfstream does produce more Kentucky Derby winners than anywhere. But I digress. The fact remains, that track does tend to make speed horses look a little better than what they are. Mm-hmm. He's done it at three different tracks. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that gets you. Here's the other thing. Darren Daly brings it up. It's a great point. The Florida Derby field was trash. There's no doubt. I'm not going to argue that. What about the Breeders' Cup Juvenile? He beat Muth. Muth's probably, if you don't think he's the second best horse in the crop, you at least think he's a top 3, 4, 5 horse. He beat him by 6 in the Juvenile. That's the thing. People are pointing to just the Florida Derby, and you're right. Like, you beat Catalytic. Who really cares? I don't. Of course, you beat him by the length of the stretch, so that's nice. But anyway, where the Door Knock won the Fountain of Youth by like a half. But anyway, I don't care about the Florida Derby as much because you have the other data points. Mm-hmm. The fact is, if he shows up with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile type race, he's most likely going to win this race.
I think so too. And I mean, I just think he's the best horse.
Yeah.
So In a field of 20, are you really betting a horse that's 5-2? Yes.
Yeah, I mean the biggest cash of my whole life was on a 5-2 horse in the Kentucky Derby, American Pharoah. Justify was 5-2, Nyquist was 5-2, California Chrome was 5-2. I mean, the favorites win this race a lot. I'm not gonna bet 5-2 on who would have been the favorite last year, like Angel of Empire or Tap of Trice. No, Epicenter probably not. But yeah, when I think it's a really good horse, it's a standout. Sure.
I always answer that question like this, because I got a couple of buddies. They're long shot bettors. They just are. They will never bet the chalk. And I always say, well, you know, I feel better about betting a 5-2 than a 20-1 that hasn't done anything. Right. I just do. And this horse has. He's done some stuff. And I don't see anything else that's just great in this race. I don't think there's any just real standout in the race. I think you're getting a bargain getting him at 5-2, to be honest.
So. Well, and here's kind of my thing. I truly believe it's a 50-50 proposition that he shows up with his best race Saturday.
Well, he's done that. He's every other race.
And so it's 50-50. Now, look, that's my opinion.
Exactly.
Your opinion could be totally different, and that's fine, and I wouldn't argue it. I'm a better, and I think he's 50-50 to show up with his best race.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm a better, and I think if he shows up with his best race, he is an easy winner. Again, those are two opinions that are mine. These are not facts. These are my opinions, but I am betting, and I am talking right now, right? So that means my fair odds for him is even money. Because if he's 50-50 to show up with his best race, and if his best race wins, well, then it's a 50-50 chance he wins. That's even money.
Yes.
If I get 5-2, that's incredible value for me. I'm not saying it is for your, no, I'm not talking about you, Papa Dude, but people listening.
Yeah, I know.
If you don't share that opinion, then that's not value for you. But my opinion is he should be even money based on what I'm seeing. So 5-2 is an incredible value for me. That's the thing.
And the other thing that I'm looking at is I don't like the posts for the other horse I would bet, which is Sierra Leone.
That
don't like that post, or I might have picked that horse.
That I wouldn't, though. I
wouldn't, honestly, either, but I might have considered the horse a lot more than I did.
If I'm sitting here and I say, well, I don't think there's any chance Fierceness shows up, well, then I would go to other horses. Yeah. But if I really thought there's no way, then I would definitely go to other horses. But
right.
So if Fierceness goes off at 4-5, who will you choose is the next question.
He won't go off at 4-5.
Well, he wouldn't. I'd probably go Catching Freedom. I really think Catching Freedom would be the right price. Because it's a tough question, because if Fierceness is 4-5, that means Sierra Leone might be 5-1. That might, you know, these horses that you're thinking, yeah, you could, I can't bet Sierra Leone at 3-1. Well, if Fierceness was 4-5, Sierra Leone might be 6-1. So it would, I guess the best answer is it would just depend on the odds of the other horses. I would think Sierra Leone, Catching Freedom, whoever was the bigger price of the two, I probably would go that direction. So, all right. Any final thoughts?
No, that's my pick.
All right. Hold on. There's a question about the rain. We'll do that at the end. Let's finish go through the last horses here. Then we'll talk about rain. Stronghold in number 18 here, San Anita Derby winner. Any thoughts on him?
I kind of like that horse. I do. I think he's not getting enough respect. Mm-hmm. I know his times are not very good, but he's ran 5 times and he's won 3 and finished 2nd the other, or 6 mm-hmm. times. He's 6-3-3. Never finished less than 2nd. What is he? 20-1?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I've got to keep that horse in there.
Yeah.
He's in my top 4.
All right. So Stronghold in your top 4 there. I'm on the fence. I've got him underneath. I don't have him
but
what's that?
I don't know if he wins.
Yeah, but you like him underneath. I do.
I think he's decent. So yeah. I think he's my best long shot. How about that?
All right. I like that. There you go. All right. Number 19 is Resilience, also 20-1. I hate the post for this horse. This was one I was thinking of, but I'm not sure now.
I don't either. That's too far out there.
Yeah.
And the history of it's, if you're going to go with the history of it, and I think you have to when it comes to the posts. That's one thing you, to me, I don't ever look at who's going to win until I see the draw.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it just kill horses too many times.
Yeah. But
inside draw or way outside draw, you don't have a chance. Remember when Lucas had Dublin?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't bad. And what was he? He had the 20.
He was, you're thinking of the Preakness he had the far outside.
And he went right.
No, he did have the,
it was the Derby. Yeah. It was the Derby. And he went right for the rail.
Okay.
I mean, not the outside. He just ran right for the fence.
Yeah.
Came out there just sideways. Of course, he was nuts anyway, but
yeah.
But I it's just too much to overcome.
It's a lot to overcome for a horse that I think needs a perfect setup.
He's not bad though. You might see him later on in the year.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I respect him. I respect his trainer. I think this might be a decent horse. I just think it's not Saturday. It's you know. All right, number 20, Society Man. Do you have any thoughts on him?
No.
Yeah, me neither. 21 is Epic Ride. Epic Ride will draw in. He is number 21. He ran third in the Bluegrass. I thought he was okay.
Are you really going to pick a horse that had to draw in? No.
Probably not.
I'm not.
By the way,
he's 21st.
Darren Daly, I don't think you understand. We both said we're using Stronghold. We're talking about Resilience when we said no on Resilience. So just to point that out, 21 Epic Ride. I think he might be underneath at best, but I think he's a good horse. I think down the road he's going to be a force, but I don't know if it's today or Saturday, I should say. We'll see what happens. I'm a little bit concerned. That's a tough post as well for a horse that really needs a lot to go right. But I do like him. I think he's getting better. I thought he ran okay in the Bluegrass, first start on dirt, but is he good enough? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
And then we will say number 22 is Mugatu. Mugatu, not in yet. He might. Just keep an eye on him. He's very Rich Strike-esque. He's ran a lot. He hasn't ran all that well a lot, but
He's ran a lot, but he hasn't ran that well.
I feel like the people that saw Rich Strike win will try to bet this horse if he draws in.
Because he's going to drop out. He think might drop out.
Well, I wouldn't have predicted Encino, so I
don't know. Exactly.
Yeah, right. So I just feel like I've been down this road enough. You know, last year, I think 5 scratched. So
I wouldn't bet this horse with anybody's money. They're just stupid. Sorry. To me, it's stupid to bet this horse.
Yeah, I'm not with you on this one. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right. Couple things before we move on here. Let's talk about the weather. Honestly, it's kind of just a wait and see. I do think if it rains, I mean, who are we really moving up? I think Sierra Leone, you know, he won the Risen Star in the slop, so he'd probably be fine. Catching Freedom's been in the slop. Fierceness does have a win in the slop as well. Mystic Dan, obviously. What do you think?
To handicap what they're going to do in the slop,
it's
the hardest thing for me.
Because
when you're handicapping, you don't take that into consideration because you don't know what the weather's going to be. So then you've got to totally change everything that you've thought before you went to the racetrack, because most of us have an idea when we go to the racetrack what we're going to do. You know, we have some sort of an idea, and then the weather interferes with it, and you got to start all over. And I hate it. I absolutely hate it whenever that happens. So, I think you just have to wait
and see. So it's a weird situation because AccuWeather does say that, but the Weather Channel app says rain. So I don't really know. I don't think you can worry about it much until it happens, like Kevin says. You know, I'll never forget 2018. They said the first derby I went to, they said it's going to rain all day on Friday and be perfectly clear on Saturday, and it did the exact opposite. Friday was a beautiful day. Saturday, we got to the track. It was pouring, and they were saying, oh, a couple hours, it'll quit. It never quit raining the whole day. It was a nightmare. So in Kentucky this time of year, you just don't know.
No.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, any final thoughts here? I think we're both on fierceness. Do you have any final thoughts?
It's going to be a great race. Don't have just real clear-cut favorite, I don't think. We get some couple of good ones. Probably the best one's not in the race, maybe. Too bad Muse's not in it. Then we'd have three solid picks. It's going to be just like it always is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It'll be all up to the trip. Seems like that's the way it is every year. So,
yep.
Be exciting. And again, I always say this. I shudder every time they run this race. 20 horses is too many. Yeah. I just hope we get through it without some sort of tragedy, because I'm telling you, it's going to happen one of these days.
Yeah, I hear you. Hopefully that does not happen this year. It was very close one year for sure. So hopefully we can get through it.
Yeah. I always breathe easier when it's over.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, I sure. Especially if it's sloppy.
Yeah. That slop it adds another element to it for sure. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go to the playoffs. We'll do this quickly here. I will go to the NHL first. I've got the playoff tree up. So Florida, Carolina, the Rangers, and the Avalanche have all advanced. Let's talk about the series that are left. Let's start with Dallas and Vegas. It's 2-2. The home team has not won in this series yet. We're going back game five in Dallas. Who you think's winning this thing?
This is a fantastic series.
Mm-hmm.
A very good team is going to get eliminated in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas won the first two in Dallas, and Dallas showed what they're made of by going and winning the next two. And I think they won game three in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to play. I picked them tonight. I think they're going to win. I think they're a little better than Vegas. I think Vegas is playing great. Just think one of these home teams is going to win. The winner of this game tonight is going to win the series, I think. So I'm going with Dallas to win tonight and to win the series.
I think Vegas is in big trouble. I'm with you. I thought that was their chance. I kind of just felt like game three that, you know, you're going to get that pushback from Dallas, but Vegas had to win game four, in my opinion. I think Dallas, look, if you've actually watched the games, Dallas has been the better team for what, 80%
behind in game one, and they couldn't get that fourth goal to tie it. They dominated to all but the first period.
Yep.
And then I thought Vegas played really well in the next game, but Dallas has been really good out in Vegas. So if they can carry that over tonight, by the way, that's an early game. That's good.
Yeah, I know. We finally get to watch this game at a decent time tonight. All right, let's keep going. Vancouver and Nashville. This has been the most frustrating series of my betting career. I've missed
every game.
I've got one game right.
Yeah, I got one of them right. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. Nashville has been the better team in this series for 80% of the, and that without any doubt, I can say that.
Yeah.
They are better than Vancouver. I still don't think they're going to beat them. They absolutely dominated Vancouver twice in Nashville and lost both games. I don't have an explanation for how this thing is even still a series. This should be over.
Yeah, should.
But,
and I didn't see the game. I went to sleep last night. When I went to bed, it was 1-0 with about 10 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
So Nashville, were they outplayed last night? I didn't see much of it.
No, Nashville beat the shit out of them, I thought.
Oh, they did again? Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, they got two goals at the end to win.
When Vancouver scored, I said, you got to be kidding. They're going to dominate again, and they're still going to lose the game. And at worst, they should be up 3-2, at worst.
Well, the game four was a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was one of my best bets. And I thought it was 3-1 with, 2 minutes to go?
Yep. Yep.
And they scored to tie it with 6 seconds, something like that. And then what? In about the first 30 seconds, Vancouver scored in overtime. Scored in overtime. Yeah. So then I thought last night, okay, what does Nashville have left? How can they go out there? Because Vancouver's pretty good, and they've not played a real good game in this series. You think they're going to.
Yeah.
And then Nashville showed a lot of courage and a lot of guts and won that game. So what are you thinking on game six? Who knows? I mean, they should win. They are the better team. But I don't know if they're going to win or not.
He said it.
I just don't know.
They should win. But I
pick them in game six, but I don't know if they do it.
I'm just like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, I'm not betting them again. No.
All right, let's keep going. Well, first of all, who's – I guess – are you taking Vancouver? I guess. I mean
– tonight?
Or I'm talking for the series. Series.
I kind of think if Nashville wins game six, they'll go out there and beat them.
I do, too.
I do.
I do, too. I just don't want to say it out loud. All right. Edmonton and the Kings, the last one, Edmonton up 3-1 in this series. I think this one's over.
Yeah, I think they win pretty easy tonight.
Yeah, okay.
The thing with Edmonton, though, sometimes they throw clunkers out there defensively and they just get overran. Mm-hmm. That worries me a little bit. The Kings are resilient. They get after it pretty good. And I don't think you're going to back down, but I just think Edmonton is too good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at the end of the day, that's where it's at. Mm-hmm. I think Edmonton just a little too good. All right, the one series left in the East is still Boston and Toronto. Huge win for Toronto. And okay, here we go. Oh, yeah. Boston blew a 3-1 lead last year. What now? Can Toronto make this a 7-game series?
Well, they can. But how many times do they win a game at home when they have to? You know, they might be better off playing this in Boston tonight.
I know.
Or it's not tonight, is it?
Tomorrow night. Tomorrow.
Yeah. I think Toronto's pretty good. And I'm a little surprised Boston lost last night. I thought they had them. So I'm going to stick with Boston to win game six.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. I think at the end of the day they'll beat them. You just can't rely on them in the playoffs. Yeah. And
you just can't.
That was a hell of a game though. They played a great game last night.
Really well, showed a
lot.
You
can't say they didn't. I mean,
whoever wins that series moves on to play the Panthers, and then in the other semifinals you got the Rangers and the Hurricanes. You talk about some games that are going to be tough.
I think all the next round's going to be crazy. So, yeah.
Right now, I would not want to play Colorado.
I wouldn't either.
But I'm telling you what, whoever comes out of that Dallas Vegas, let's say Dallas wins, is that not going to be a fantastic semifinal series?
It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be unbelievable. And that might be the Stanley Cup champion right there.
It could be. It could be. I mean, it's going to be the next series. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be better than the, say, Edmonton wins in Nashville or Vancouver. I don't think that's going to be as exciting as the.
Well, I will. The only thing I will say is if it's Edmonton, Vancouver, that will be what a rivalry, right? Mm-hmm. And if JL said Panthers will smoke the winner of Boston-Toronto, Panthers-Boston, after what happened last year, yeah, holy true. Shit, will that be – I think I will pick Florida.
Me too. I'm
telling you, that will be crazy, that series. That'll be
– Florida nice. Is very good.
Yeah, yeah.
They handled Tampa. And I know Tampa's not as good as they have been. They're still dang hard to beat. Mm-hmm. And Florida smoked them 6-1.
Yeah, I mean, they – I'm telling you, that is going to be, I don't think that'll be a short series. I do think Florida's going to win. I think Florida's the best team, honestly, but that'll be crazy to see. Yeah, that's
got a good question. There's a New York friend who promised me the Rangers beat Carolina. That's a series that's just unpredictable. I mean, these two teams are so similar, oriented.
I don't think you better promise anything when it comes to that one. It's going to be who gets the bounce, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be a fluke win in there that may decide it.
Yeah, and you hate that, but that's
the way hockey is, though.
Yeah. That's gonna be a war. Yes. I think Carolina will beat them, but I wouldn't be surprised. That's gonna be an absolute war.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great. Be great. All right. Quickly, let's go to NBA here. Let me pull it up. There it is. All right. So we got the Thunder in. They won, and they look great after the first game, especially. Clippers, Mavs. It's 2-2. What do you think? Who's going to win this series? I think this is a true toss-up.
It is. You know, James Harden and Westbrook are playing great right now for the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Harden's he's been unbelievable mm-hmm. in this. Can he keep it up? That's the question, because Leonard's hurt. Yes, so is dadgum NBA is. There's somebody hurt, and you just don't know who's going to play every night. And so unpredictable. The Clippers are underdogs tonight at home. They're one of those teams can't win a big game, but I kind of like them tonight. Dallas is another one. They had a chance to sock that series away at home and take a 3-1 lead and didn't get the job done. And they're that way too.
That's kind of what they do. Yeah,
they do. I like the Clippers a lot tonight. So again, I can't tell you who's going to win that series. I have no idea. If the Clippers win tonight, they're in the driver's seat. But the Clippers do this all the time.
Yeah.
So that one's unpredictable. Our Thunder are fantastic.
Yep.
They're so much fun to watch and pulling for them. In that other series, the Timberwolves, man, they made a believer out of me smashing the Suns like they did.
I'm telling you, the Nuggets
that shocked me.
The Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, and then whoever wins, that's going to be a great final four over there in the West.
And the Nuggets were not impressive against the Lakers. They should be behind or already eliminated. In that series, the Lakers were ahead 70% of the minutes and got beat 4-1. So the Nuggets have not played very well. Mm-hmm. The Timberwolves might get them. I mean, they
might.
I honestly thought the Suns would win that series.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Wow. Because the Timberwolves weren't playing real well coming into that. And I thought they were inexperienced. And the Suns are very experienced. And the Timberwolves just smashed them. So they made a believer out of me. They're good. They're really good.
Well, I think the Timberwolves, I watched a little bit of them, and they did look fantastic in that series. Obviously, yep. They won 4-0. So, all right. Yeah. In the East, well, we have nobody that has advanced yet, but that's going to probably change tonight. Boston in the Heat, I think that's a no-brainer. Boston's going to win that series. But
it's
let's
in
go
Boston as well. So
yeah, let's go Cavs Magic. You know, this has been back and forth. Who do you like in this series?
Well, it was interesting. Up until last night, we hadn't had a close game. The mm-hmm. home teams had won, and then last night Cleveland wins by 1 point to take the 3-2 edge. If the series stays true to form, the Magic are gonna win game 6, and it'll come down to a game 7, which I think it might. In Cleveland, I don't think either one of them is very good, and I think Boston will kill them both. But I'm going to go ahead and take Cleveland because they won that pivotal game 5. And you got Orlando at 3.5-point favorites. That might be something you look at tomorrow night.
All right, Orlando tomorrow night, like I said, 3.5-point favorites. We'll see what happens in that one. Then finally, the Pacers and the Bucks. This is one that's been a little bit unpredictable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The Pacers lead 3-2 with a chance to close it out at home. And then, we'll do this one first. What do you think of this? Who's going to come out of this one?
The Bucks and the Pacers? Mm-hmm. They could have closed it out last night.
I know.
And they got killed.
Yep.
And you got to kind of credit the Bucks. They're down 3-1. Their two best players are out. I don't know, maybe one of them played last night. I didn't see any of this game. That's a huge win for the Bucks. The Pacers don't play very well defensively. I mean, the Bucks are still in this. Indiana better win game 6. I don't think they go back to Milwaukee and win a game 7. So the pressure is really on Indiana tomorrow night.
Yeah. I would agree. I think the Pacers are going to beat them tomorrow night.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin, too. I think Boston is a cinch in the East. They're just going to play like crap.
It seems like it, because let's talk about it real quick. Cavs, Magic, I'm sorry. Boston should beat them.
Destroy them.
Pacers, and then over the Bucks, and the Knicks and the Sixers. I've watched a little bit. I don't know. The Knicks aren't very good, I don't think.
Did you see how they blew that game last night?
Yes, and honestly, like, it feels like the Sixers kind of should have won the series. I don't think they're going to. I think the Knicks will eventually do it, but
I think they're a little bit better than the Sixers. But, and of course, Maxey was unbelievable last night, 46 points.
Yeah.
A healthy Embiid would beat the Knicks, but he, you know, he has to play every other day, and he just can't heal up. Mm-hmm. He's crippled around out there. He's not healthy. He's playing as well as he can. Mm-hmm. So I think that gives the Knicks the edge, but they blew that game last night. So Philly's still alive, and they're dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree.
Yep.
As you were talking, domestic product has floated up to 31-1. So your value's there if you want him.
He's 29. Now he's 31. So.
All right. Well, I got to get off here. A lot to do today. We'll be back. I think Magic 11:30 Central Time. We'll be back with a Kentucky Derby update where we will talk about the latest news. I'm going to have to go look for the latest news. I've been preparing for this show. So we got that coming up today. That'll be it for today, actually, this show and that one. Tomorrow, we'll have regular Blinkers Off. We will have the Magic Mike show. We will have another 11:30 show. Friday, we will have the 11:30 show. And then we'll have a live Friday for the Oaks. We'll be live for the Oaks. Saturday, we'll have live coverage of the Kentucky Derby on the website, and also from 9 to 11, I will be on VSiN. And then from 11 to, let's say, 1. 11 to 2, Samich will be on VSiN. And when we say that, it'll be our show. Like, you know, that we'll be co-hosts on the network. So much to do. We'll get it going. It's going to be crazy. So just stay tuned. We'll be back here in just a bit. All right, any final thoughts before we leave?
Did you mention the Bible? Is it out yet, or
the close? Betting Bible for everybody watching, it is not out yet. It will be out later today, according to Jared. We're waiting on Jared's bankroll. Everything else is set and ready to go. I know he's got his plan pretty much worked out, so I think that should be out here pretty soon. Everybody else's picks are in, just waiting on him, and then he will post that and we will send it out to everybody. So
John, I do need to do a show, but it wouldn't be about horse racing.
What's that? John White and Papa Dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that with him yesterday.
Did.
We think sports would be where that would need to go.
Well, let's do it. I'd love to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably would have to moderate between us, but
somebody said, I think somebody in the comments said it'd be good, but you definitely would need a moderator. So
I'm in. If John wants to do it, I'm in.
I don't think that moderator is gonna be me. Just
well.
Just to be honest.
You'd have to have somebody on there, though, that knows how to set it all up and all that stuff.
Well, that's true.
Because I don't know about John, but I have a feeling he's not real good at this either.
Does the Bible get updated if it rains? Yeah. Yes, we update it every morning. So it will get updated. It's hard to handicap for rain and then it's sunny, you know, so you kind of have to handicap just not knowing, and then if it does rain, you kind of have the backup plan, and we'll update it for you.
You can blame Magic if this doesn't happen.
What's that,
John?
The show. Well, Magic from FanDuel TV, you're talking about? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, so he's doesn't have as much as control as he used to.
He's never had control. He's pretty occupied. He never give a. The one thing you need to learn, folks, if you ever get in a position where you can hire somebody or give somebody, you know, responsibilities, Magic's not the one you give control to. Okay, he's more your worker bee.
Okay,
kind of tell him what you want. Don't let him freelance.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I just need to do is have a 5 or 6 topics and just go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be good. I think
I'd love to do it.
We talked about that, how interesting that would be.
Well, we might ought to just do one every week on us one topic. But
I think
it would turn into 2 hours, and that's not so good.
I think you would be shocked at some of his stories. Are like people listening have heard just the horse racing stories.
Right. I'd probably go to sleep.
No, you wouldn't, because his gambling, like he was telling me, he used to, because you couldn't gamble, you know, back when he was younger, you had to go to Vegas to gamble, and he would literally get on a plane to Vegas if Roger Clemens was pitching, and he liked the matchup. He'd get on a plane and he'd go to Vegas, make the bet, watch the game, and get on a plane and go home. I mean, it's just stuff like that, just crazy stuff. Yeah. And one story, I won't tell it as good as him. He'll tell it someday, but he was on a plane to go bet Roger Clemens in Las Vegas. I mean, this is crazy to even say this out loud. So he's on a plane to go bet Roger Clemens in Las Vegas, and he's sitting next to this old lady, and the old lady goes, "So, what brings you to Vegas?" He said, "Well, ma'am, there's a pitcher tonight pitching, and I really want to bet him. And so I'm on this plane to bet this pitcher tonight." And then he says, the lady goes, "Is it Roger Clemens?" And John goes, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is Roger Clemens." And the lady goes, "That's why I'm on this plane."
Oh, I don't believe that.
I swear to God, that's what he told me. You know, I've never known him to tell a lie.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Really?" He goes, "Oh yeah." She goes, I'm definitely betting Roger Clemens tonight in that game." So I don't know. So anyway, all right. Well, we got to get off here.
Yeah, you do.
A lot to do. I got a lot to do. Yes, so, all right, guys. We will get off here now. We'll be back here in a little over an hour with more coverage. All right, guys. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we'll see you for this show next week. This is Dudes Who Bet Sports.